The topic is FX2 ADC using USB oscilloscopes as general purpose analog to digital converters. What was my motivation to look into this? I wanted to use VHS Decode, which is an open source project that implements a decoder for the video home standard. So you can use a VHS recorder, tap the RF signal from the head, digitize that, and then have a completely software implementation for reconstructing the picture, which has several benefits. Here's a screenshot of an example frame. You can look at SNR line by line and so on, and down here is the link. The typical hardware that they use for such a setup, or the cheapest variant, is actually a PCI Express card with a rather old TV chip that can be used to, abused as a ADC, to basically bypass all the demodulation that is already inside there for analog TV, just digitize that. Actually, the setup with the Raspberry Pi is not the typical hardware that was just a test. They used some older PC, but it works, of course, with the Raspberry Pi as well. Those cards need a PCI or PCI Express port. And actually my card that I ordered from AliExpress hadn't arrived yet. So I had to find a different solution. But I remembered I had one of those USB oscilloscopes that I bought a couple of years ago. And I thought, maybe this could be used as well. And if you look at those oscilloscopes, they are basically all, there are several different available, and they all look like that. So you have the main controller is a Cypress FX2, or now Infineon, which is a USB high-speed FIFO with an 8051 microcontroller core. And with that, attached a 8-bit dual channel ADC from Analog Devices, or a clone. There are also Chinese clones of this analog digital converter. And in front of that, you have a typical cheap oscilloscope front end. So this is the analog front end. It's basically just a filter and an op-amp. The feedback uses an analog mux with several resistors. Basically, you can switch from the FX2, so you can select 10 millivolt per division, 50 millivolt per division, and so on. Some of those scopes even go up to 10 volts per division. And some of those scopes also have AC coupling. Not all of them have that. Some are DC, always DC coupled. But those that have selectable AC coupling have a coupling cap here. And this is a photo MOS, which then can also be controlled to bypass this capacitor. And then it's DC coupled again. And the ADC is clocked by the FX2. And the FX2 has a 24 megahertz crystal, and the internal PLL, which we will get to later, and this clocks the ADC. But the Cypress FX2 also has an interface clock input, which is unused on all of these oscilloscopes, which will become interesting. So this is how a typical PCB looks like of those oscilloscopes. This is now a two-channel version. As I said, this is the analog front end with the analog mux that switches the feedback divider. And then you have A to D converter, the FX2, and that's basically it. This one also has a logic analyzer. So here's a input buffer for the logic analyzer. And in case the oscilloscope part is not active, the output enable here of this chip is simply not enabled, so they share the A to D converter and this input buffer share the same bus. Yeah, this is just a list of the supported oscilloscopes. Basically, So, as I said, this parallel interface is called the general purpose interface. That's how Cypress called it. And you have two 8-bit ports that can be either used as an 8-bit port or a 16-bit port. Unfortunately, there's a limitation for those two channel scopes because you either can select the 8 or the 16-bit mode. So this means you cannot stream channel 2 alone. You either can stream channel 1 or channel 1 plus 2. So channel 2 alone with a full sample rate is not possible. But I mean, in my case, I was looking for one single channel mode anyways, so we have to use channel 1. And the clocking modes of the FX2, you either can select a 30 megahertz clock for this interface or 48 megahertz and nothing really in between. I mean, you can, this is like a small programmable state machine with delay cycles, so lower clocks than 30 megahertz, like 15 megahertz, or a division of 48, like 24 and lower, also works. But in between 30 and 48 megahertz, there's nothing you can do with the hardware you have. And yeah, 48 megahertz is too fast for USB high speed. On my machine, I get around 45 megahertz or megabytes per second. And then you start dropping samples. So it's very unfortunate that there's nothing in between. But, well, you have this interface clock input. So what I did, because This VHS decode software typically uses 40 megahertz sampling rate. It can also work with 30 megahertz, but if you want to stick to the default or want the maximum you can get, I added a small PLL board you can get cheaply online. The FX2 has I2C. And program that, connect the output to the IF clock input, and then you can generate the 40 megahertz or anything you want, basically. So this is a nice small modification you can do. And yeah. So how do you get the data into the DPC? I first looked at SigRock because this is an open source project for logic analyzers and oscilloscopes and so on. And unfortunately, they have two different implementations for the logic analyzers and for the oscilloscopes. And for the oscilloscopes, they use a single transfer of data. And as you can see here, you basically lose samples. So as I added this PLL board anyway, I needed some rather large modifications. So I thought, okay, let's write something myself. Also, my specific model of scope was not supported by there's also an open source firmware for those scopes. So I added that, and then basically wrote a small library based on RTL-SDR. That loads the firmware and streams the data from the device. You can control the voltage divider, as I mentioned, via command line argument or function call. And it automatically checks if the PLL chip is present and can use that to generate the clock. And if AC coupling is supported on the device, uses that. And RTL-SDR like tools to write to a file, TCP, and to actually, if you use this for SDR purposes, it's interesting to look at how accurate your crystal or your PLL is. So this is how it looks like if you tap the RF signal of a VHS recorder. You basically just hook it up there and then record it. So ideally, you have two channels, because the video signal and the audio signal are two different analog channels, two test points here. And what the VHS decode guys actually do is, they use 2 times 40 megahertz. So I thought, well, I have this PLL, maybe just add a clock output to one of those devices and use the second one that uses that as a clock input. and then they are synchronized and you don't have any audio video drift over time. So this is just a screenshot showing the RF spectrum of the VHS video signal with the time domain above. And then I thought, yeah, let's give it a try. I mean, why not? To the oscilloscope, hook the IF output of an RTL SDR and connect it to the input channel. And then you, even if you don't add the PLL and so on, you have a sample rate of 30 megahertz and you have 15 megahertz bandwidth. So if you want to upgrade your RTL SDR, this could be interesting. Those oscilloscopes cost around, the cheapest one is 50 euros. They go up to 80. Could be interesting, yeah. And then I found this device, which I also had to buy. This is basically sold as a logic analyzer with two analog input channels. It's actually just one ADC, but it's an analog mux. You can switch between those two channels. And what's interesting, it's rather cheap, like $24, and it's all Chinese. So the FX2, there's a clone by a Chinese company. The A2D converter is a clone of a TI component. I think the op amp is also a clone of some analog devices component. And this is what makes it so cheap. And of course, you can also use that to hook that up to a analog tuner. And yeah, can listen to DAB example with that. This ADC runs with 16 megahertz, so you have 8 megahertz of bandwidth. Can also be interesting for $24. So, what kind of scopes be used for? As I mentioned, you can extend the bandwidth of your RTL SDR stick or do like a custom PCB with the tuner. Use it as a direct sampling HF receiver. You probably want to add an external low pass filter for that and an amplifier. VHS decode, as I just mentioned. And yeah, also for the scope use case, there's this nice NG scope client. Could add support to Scopel. Haven't actually done that yet, but this would also be interesting. Yeah, unfortunately, yeah, you need to do a hardware modification if you want to make some sample rate. You also could just add a 40 megahertz crystal oscillator to the IF clock input, so you have a fixed 40 megahertz. If you want to connect more than one device, as I mentioned earlier, with this external synchronization for like video and audio, I didn't really get that to work with 40 mega samples because even if I use multiple host controllers in one PC, you cannot actually, or I didn't manage to get 40 megabytes with two independent USB 2 devices. So this is really a limitation. And yeah, the talk tomorrow then will cover another hardware way to transfer even more data. Yes. Here's an interesting anecdote which I encountered when I added support for the oscilloscope I have. So this is one of the ones that was already supported by SigRock. Below you have the channel output of the first channel, above of the second channel, or vice versa, 8-bit into the FX2. Yeah, this is from this Chinese company that cloned the chip. And this is the one that my oscilloscope had. And if you look on the top here, one channel was working, the other was basically just garbage. And what I figured out is, here everything goes with wires to the bottom and is swapped. You're not. So actually the bits are reversed on this channel because it made the PCB layout easier apparently. So yeah, this took quite a bit why it isn't working. Okay. Yeah. That's it. Here's some resources. As I mentioned, for the SigRock project, you can the support for this oscilloscope I mentioned is now in mainline FX2 logic analyzer firmware. The actual support for SigRock hasn't made it mainline yet. And below are the links to VHSD code. And for those cards, these CX80C cards I mentioned earlier, there's also a driver for the video for Linux SDR framework, which also works quite nicely. So you can basically do the same with those cards. They are around 20 to 25 US dollars as well. Might be interesting as well. Yeah. That's it. Any questions?
So it's question is, you said it would also work if you put a 40 megahertz a crystal there, but wouldn't it be a problem that the 24 megahertz and the 40 megahertz are drifting each other as opposed to the PLL solution that you implemented?
It actually doesn't really matter, because the output of the A to D converter, the clock output, is then also coming from this 40 megahertz. So only the USB part and the internal FIFO clock then is running with the 24 megahertz, and the actual sampling is only happening with the clock you input, so that's no issue.
Which one for me to have a FX2 at home? Which model you recommend for me to buy, like out of the shelf? I mean, from any store.
Yeah, it depends on. I would go for the cheapest, to be honest. But this one I mentioned, this pen-sized one, of course, only has one channel. But what they do here is they this A to D converter has a mode where you can offset the two channels, the two analog input channels, half a cycle, and then interleave that, basically. And that's what they do here. Although the FX2 only supports 48 megahertz clock, if you do this interleaving, you can do sampling with 96 megahertz. And as the, I think the FX2 has like 4K internal FIFO, you can do a snapshot or like 4K samples with 96 megahertz. So if you are interested in that as well for the oscilloscope use case, this pen-sized one is interesting. Otherwise, just go for one of the two-channel ones. Yeah.
And you mentioned also that, of course, it can direct sample the HF band. I mean, if I have a 50-ohm antenna, if I connect directly to it, do you think I would be able to receive a HF signal?
Yeah, you can receive some strong signals, but you need a preamp. Because the smallest... it's also different between all those hardware models. You can look at the SigRock wiki. There's a list. The smallest one, I think, has 17 millivolts per division. So this is the largest amplification factor of the input. Some others only have 50 millivolt per division. And yeah, you need a preamp in this case. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Thanks again.